Rav Shlomo Miller.
B'shevach v'yidol Hashem Yisborach, that I have once again the opportunity to be mechazik myself together with all of you. Very special town, Manchester. A mokin Torah, very special people. Hopefully HaKadosh Baruch will give me the right words to be mechazik myself, and a levayit should be a chizik for all of us. I would like to speak about a nekuda. Being a yid, a simple yid, unchesh bonus. What do I mean by that? We have it both parashas, in Matos and in Masay. This Musar Haskel about being a yid unchesbonus. We have it in the beginning of Parshas Matos when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to go to Melchemes Midyon, and they sent every shevet elef lamata. Every shevet sent 1,000 soldiers. And Chazal, and the Rashi says on this part, brings Chazal, L'chol matoisom l'rabois shevet levi. That means that not only all the 12 shvatim, but also shevet levi also sent. So if that is the case, it should be how many soldiers? 13,000. And instead it says, Vayimosru shnei mesrei, 12,000, not 13,000. So that's a question which is asked in a lot of Mefarshim. So I saw the Chiddush Shearim, and I heard that, I didn't see it inside, that the Bar Tanura Al HaTorah says also the same pshat. Rashi says, Vayimosru Bal Kochom. Why? Because they didn't want to go. Because they heard that after the Melchoma, Vachar to Osef El Amecho, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be passing away from Klal Yisrael. So we should go make war and cause that Moshe Rabbeinu Chas V'Sholom should be Nifta. They didn't want to go. So Vayimosru Bal Kochoch. 12,000 went Bal Kochoch. But 1,000, Shevet Levi, they went without any problems. Why? Because there were people without any cheshbonus. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, go make war, but, hey, what's my... No buts. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam says, you do, macht man uncheshbonus, without any cheshbonus. That is the way a yid should be acting. Like the Rambam says, in Ilchus Shemitah V'Yovel, like the Rambam says, that Shevet Levi, the Loi Shevet Levi Bilvad, Elo Kol Ish Mi Boye Oilom, if he takes upon himself, Uporak Me Olov Oil Cheshbeinois Orabi Mashabik Shuloim Bnei Odom. Zayin Ayid On Cheshbeinus, without any buts and not why, and if HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that's what we do, and we try to do Rots Nashem, Unchesbeinus. And then we have it again in Parashas Masay, an amazing chinuch about Ore Aleviim. So we say, we learn in the Parashas Masay that all the towns of the Leviim were Ore Miklot. Why is that? So he brings down in the second reason, Ve'oi Ta'amachir Badovo. Why? Ki biyoisam anshei levov yeduim b'malois amidois v'chochmes tichbodois. Shevet Levi were special people. They had very special milos and midois. Yedu ala koil shelo yistimo ritzeach shinotzel aleim v'lo yigaboy. V'yav ki yarug echod me'oyaveyem or migualeim achar asher bepesa b'loheve yargenu. Yeah, just try to give it over in our words. Let's say, here would be in Manchester, would be Ori Miklot. Then you come Friday night, you see in shul a new face. Hey, who's this guy? So your friend tells you, well, he's got a story behind him. B'shegik, amaze it. I'll leave the mitzvah for somebody else. Ech, man, I don't deal with murderers. And if Chas V'Sholem, the one who was killed is a cousin, so B'chlal, you can't look at him. Oi, you want? I don't know what to do with him. But there's a mitzvah lach yoisoy. So the Torah put them by Shevet Levi. They are people on cheshbonos. Val haShevet hazeh nivchar nemar ha'oimer le'aviv u'le'imoy lo yireisiv. Kiloimar, yeah, he said to his father, kilo, he don't know them. Because if that's what Hashem wants, I don't make any cheshbonos. Shelo yasu dovo bo'olam zulasi miderech ha'yosher val kivun ha'emes. Das ist Shevet Levi. Be a Yid, do Ratzon Hashem, do Hashem's will without any cheshbonos. No buts, no cheshbonos. If that's what Hashem wants, that's what we do. And we see it over here, it doesn't say a Yid on cheshbonos, ben Adam l'chaveroi. And in the one before Matos, that was ben Adam l'mokoyim, Hashem goes, Hashem says to make war, we make war on cheshbonos. And I would like to, a bit wider, about these two nekudas, these two points, to be a Yid without any cheshbonos in ben Adam l'chaveroi and in ben Adam l'mokoyim. In this point, yeah, things which again I have to be machazik myself, and it's a worldwide zach. We live together amongst people, right? A human being can't live himself. He needs people to be living in a good town, in a nice town, and says Manchester, a special place to live. And sometimes, you know, we live between people and we don't realize that there's so many people waiting for us for a smile, for a shalom aleichem, for a nice good morning, for her oras ponim. We have no idea how we can do with such, you know, not too much effort and mamish, live up the man, live up the guy, with give him a shtick chiyas. We have no idea how powerful every good word, but what happens is that we're sometimes with so many cheshbonos. This guy, no, I'm not going to look at him. I don't want to speak to him. I don't want to talk to him. He's this, and I heard about him like that. All these mices, and we don't realize how many cheshbonos in our head goes by, political cheshbonos or whatever it is. And chas v'shalom, we ignore people because all these cheshbonos. Let's try, b'frat bein ha-mitzorim, that chas v'rachman al-islam, we lost the Beis HaMikdosh because of sinas chinam. Let's try to give yenem a good feeling, a nice shalom aleichem, without any cheshbonos. Let's put all cheshbonos in the side and try to be nice one to each other. We have no idea how powerful it is, the Indian of a horas ponim, giving before even putting effort, stamp, push it, you go by, tell him a good morning. There's so many people who never, I have so many tzores. If it's at home, so many chas v'shalom never single people which don't have family at home. And with such a simple effort, we can do so much about it. Push it. Yenem get my shalom aleichem. It's Reb Shloimeh Volbus speaks about the inyan of Horas Ponim. He says, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ho'er Ponecho V'Nivosheo, Al Taster Ponecho Mimenu. We always ask Reb Shloimeh, give us Horas Ponim, light us up. What's the inyan of Horas Ponim? So he says, just like we see in the summer, there's a lot of sunshine, everything is blossoming, everything is growing, everything is mamish, having great success. And comes winter, everything falls down, all the leaves, nothing growing, everything is down. Because Ha'oras Ponim has a koyach, gives power to things to blossom and to grow. And the same thing, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Hanoga, he acts with us with Ha'oras Ponim. So Klal Yisrael is blossoming, Klal Yisrael is growing, it's building itself up. And Chas V'Shalom, when there is Hester Ponim, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kiviyochel, right? He doesn't light us up. So Chas V'Shalom, there's Churban and there's Rachman al-Islam, so many problems. And he says the same thing, a human being, but only a human being, Atzelem Elikim, has that koyach of Ha'oras Ponim, giving a smile to your fellow friend. A cow doesn't smile, neither a goat. They can maybe see if they're more nervous, less nervous, but Ha'oras Ponim, giving a smile to your fellow friend, that's only a human being has that koyach of Ha'oras Ponim, because B'Tzelem Elikim Bora Oisoi. The first signal, the first sign you can see on a mensch that he's a moisar ha'odom in a behema, you can see that he's a human being and not a behema. The first time the baby smiles, now you can know this is a mensch, because a behema doesn't have the ability to respond him. And that's the first language he understands. Before he even understands what you're speaking to him, you smile to him, he smiles you back. And if chas v'shalom, you get mad at him, he starts crying. Yet a mensch hodem koyach von ha'oras ponim. We have no idea how powerful it is. When you smile to yenim, you give him a nice good morning, you push it, give him koyach to go on for that day. And there's so many people which need it. Mamish, I live in Kiryat Sefer, and also in Yeshiva. I see it all the times. It's amazing what a smile, what a nice good morning, what a smile can do to somebody. Ha'oras ponim. The effort is kemat gornish. Just get a kid, tell him a good morning without any cheshbonis. And befrat als yidden. There's an amazing story brought down in the book about Reb Nosson Zvi Finkel. Mamish, there was in America, they made a research, how do you become a millionaire? So they took 250 millionaires, rich people in America, throughout the United States, that were ready to participate in this research. So on every millionaire, there was a student that would be going following him 2 or 3 months and writing down all of his day, how his Seder Hayom is. And finally, after that, they'll study it and they'll see what's the way, how do you become a millionaire? So 250 students go out to their way, and everybody's going, following everyone, his millionaire, and they're writing down all what's going on. And after 3 months, they all came back, and a group of people who do the research, who does to come to the right conclusions, and to know what's the way, how to become a millionaire. Yeah, okay, we know. Liyah kesef liyah zo, right? The Gemara Avodah Zarah says that when the Roimim will come to us in Lovoy, they'll say, we have to get schar. Why? What are you talking about? We built shvakin markets, and we built batei mechatzaros, bathhouses, and we brought a lot of money. Hirbeinu kesef azov. Everything for Klal Yisrael. Shem says, aye, shaitim shabaylam. All what you did is for yourself. You built bathhouses for yourselves, markets for yourself, but by money it says kesef azov shalihu shenem aliyah kesef aliyah azov. So the Inyankov explains over there. He says, "Ha'aretz nosan livnei adam." Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the land to for people, human beings, to build it up. So bathhouses and markets, in a chanami, you built it. Now there's a conversation, what was the matara, if you meant Klal Yisrael or not, but kesef zohov shelihu, ani here beisi, shenem aliyah kesef aliyah zohov. That's not God. The treasury is stays by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't put anybody instead of him. Does plight by Hashem is Baruch, just like we say in the morning, V'ho'oishar v'akovoid milfanecho, right? The richness is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So a person would think, okay, but after HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me the richness, I run the show. V'atomoishal b'koil. He stays the boss. V'al kopanim, so by the goyim, right, 250 students are following 250 millionaires to try to find out what's the way, how do you become a millionaire? So finally they come with all these books, everybody with his book. So they went through, it was very interesting. By 249 millionaires, it was kemat all the same. They were working hard. A lot of time of the day was put in making court cases with all the guys who were, mitcharim, competing them or whatever, and trying to find out secrets of the same companies which are doing the same. So much effort and work, how to fight all these competitions and how to try to get all the secrets. That was by 249. Besides one of them, no competitions, no enemies, and still is a millionaire. So it was very interesting. So they called him over, and they wanted to questionnaire him. And they asked him, why is it that by 249 millionaires, they put in so much effort in competition and fighting it out with all their fellows? And by you, no enemies, no nothing. So he tells him, I'll tell you. This guy is a owner of a whole pharmacies, right? A whole a chain of pharmacies. Anyway, so he says, in the beginning, when I got the business for my father, so my father would tell me always, I was a savor, make a goal and fight it out till then, till you make your goal. And that's, I was a strong man. I used to fight it out like all the rest. I was mamish with it. Until finally, one day, we decided, since we have all these things we make, you know, all these products, and we want to get them overseas, overboard to other countries. So we went to make a whole business trip, going through all these countries, trying to understand what kind of products would they want, and try to make, that we can make products for them, and we can ship them. So one of the places we came is to Eretz Israel. And it was very nice. We mamish enjoyed. We had this good madrich, this good
guide,
was taking around every place and understand, explaining us. We mamish, we had 2 weeks' time of a real, real enjoyment. The last day, the guy tells us, I want to take you to some unique place. To my understanding, I think it's, and there's no other place like this in the whole world. I'm sure you'll enjoy it. We were sure that he's talking about maybe a very old building or was this special architect. Mikitsa, we were thinking about who knows what. He brings us to one of these neighborhoods in Yerushalayim, an old neighborhood. We're trying to see what's so special about it. We can't find. So, until he finally parks our van next to a building that we see people going in and out, in and out. So, titzich. So before he takes us off, he says, guys, before we go down, I would like to ask you some questions. What do you think a university with about approximately between 5,000 and 6,000 students, how big of a campus you need? So you were clever people. Everybody started making these chishbonos, how many classrooms you need, and how many dormitories, and how many whatever. Ganze chishbonos. We came to chishbon between 350 and 400 acres you need for such a university, for 5,000-6,000 students. Okay, and how many staff members you need for such a university? So again, we're sitting making these cheshbonos. We came up to about 300 staff members should be for such a big olam. Okay, guys, now we're here next to a place which is called Mirror Yeshiva here in Yerushalayim. There's over 5,000 students in these buildings. The whole place is about 3,000 square meters and approximately a little more than half a meter for every student. All the staff members is about 25 people, and on top of them there's one man which is pretty sick, and he runs the whole show and he knows everything what's going on. He raises the money, he decides what you're going to learn, what you're going to study. Bekitsa, we were like shocked. What? How can that be? We went down the van and we started going through all the Bati Midrashim in the Mir Yeshiva. And it was amazing. Every piece of place you got, next to the steps, under the steps, wherever it is, every loch, there was a chavrusa sitting there, and they were so deep in their studies, they didn't even realize that somebody's coming up. After we went through all the buildings, we were like, mamish, boomed away like, wow. It's pashut amazing. How can it be? So, after that, he told us, we're here for this surprise ending. We're going to have, I made you you're going to have a meeting, appointment by the Rosh Hashiva. But I just want to tell you beforehand, don't be surprised and shocked. The man has Parkinson, Rahman al-Islan, and he has all different machlis, so he might look a bit not healthy. Just don't be shocked. We went in, and Rosh Hashiva took us in, and he was smiling to us. Mami, she made such a great impression on us, and he brought us in, and we sat down, and one of our guys asked him, excuse me, Rosh Hashiva, we're all managers, we all deal with big companies, we run big businesses, We just can't understand it. How can it be that in such a small place and such little staff, and you run such a massive, massive base medrash, what's going on? So instead of answering us, he started asking us, he asked us, what do you think is the difference between a person, a human being, and a behemoth? So he goes on and says, a behemoth, right, a cow, sees something, she wants something, she just goes, she'll step on anything, she don't care what's going on. You're stepping on somebody, you're not stepping, it's good, it's not good, she just don't care, she just has to get to that point without no caring about nothing. But a human being has the koyach that if he feels that he's stepping on somebody, he won't do it. And not only that, even if he loses about it, he won't do it. And not just that, he will give from himself. He'll give from his time, from his money, from everything to help that one, that other human being. He says, over here, we got 6,000 human beings. And when it's mentioned, when it's people which want to be a mensch and not a behemoth, so there's place for everybody, and everybody makes sure that there's to make place for your fellow friend. He said, I was shocked. This guy who was the owner of the chain of pharmacies, he says, it hit me. And from that day, I decided, not anymore. From now on, no enemies. Not suing anybody to court case. Don't care. Let everybody make competition. Don't mind. I'll just try to make my best. And believe me, I didn't lose out nothing. I just gained that from now on, I became a mensch. Yes, we live with people together. We have no idea how much people are waiting for a smile of us, a nice good morning. We're in Gullis, and everybody has this peckle which he's going through. With so little effort, we can do so much, so much. Push it. A nice good morning. A good smile to your fellow friend. Invite him for Shabbos, whatever it is. I'm not the one to say to people, others, what to do, but let's try to pick up ourselves. Beina mitzorim. Be a yid on cheshboinus. On cheshboinus. But sometimes the problem is that, you know, what do you mean? But I know that this guy is cruel, and this guy did like this, and this guy did like that. How can I be nice to him? We have, what do you mean? I saw, I heard, and I this. And I want to participate with you. Four stories. What you see that you never ever can know. Sometimes you're sure 100% this is what happened. And we got to put him in the chvayis shvus. Throw him out. Do whatever. You never know. Story number one. One of the tzaddikim, Lebeis Vishnitz, was at a chasana. Was at a chasana in New York from Eretz Yisrael. He was in America, and he participated in some chasana of Avishnitz Chusid, and he goes to the Bala Simcha, to the father of the chasen, zuk to Mazel Tov, and the Malavim, the Chassidim are going with him. They hear the Mechutin say to the tzaddik, "Keiner den ish gezich. No one's looking after you. No one's looking for you." So they were like shocked. He says, what? A chitzpah? He's coming to be mechabed him? And he like, who's looking for you? Wer der gezicht? Keiner den ish gezicht. No one is, kilo, what are you doing here? Get out of here. They were like, mamish, you know, they wanted to go over to the mechitten and put him in place. And the tzaddik sees something starting to move. Something is starting to roll. So he turns around. He says, who's the geshein? He says, you didn't hear? It's a chitzpah. You come and give him the honor to participate in the simcha, and he tells you, no one's looking for you. So he looks around and says, what? You don't understand what he was telling me. What do you mean we don't? We understand the Yiddish exactly. Oh, you don't understand. This morning, I met him in shul. And I was, you know, asking, was Titzich, how are you getting along with the Simcha? He says, also, it's all right, everything's all right. But my mobile phone, I was making problems. I don't know, I, it's the day of a Simcha, I need. He says, no problem, come to my house, have a mobile. Pleasure, you can use it. But if somebody was looking for, if somebody's looking for me, just let me know. So when I came to the Simcha, he told me, keiner den ish gezicht, no one's looking for you. How should they think on such a zach? Enechinami. Enechinami. Sometimes we can't think about it. But the Moshe Haskel for us, even if you don't find any limud zchus sometimes, you never ever can know. Story number two. A young couple, Chos and Kala, Erev Shabbos Shevet Brochus. It was in the winter, short Friday, and kids are trying to make all their chunas and taking out the leichter for the first time, lighting Shabbos candles. Vesized, big simcha, very inspirational. And they prepare the Hanukkah, the Shabbos lights. All of a sudden, she comes back. She come, you know, she was getting ready herself, but she missed out the zman with 5 minutes. But there's plenty of time to shkia, no problem to light the candles. But she comes in, she don't believe. Her husband lit up the candles. What? That's the way he can speak to me? What? He's such a naughty man. He can't tell me. Machas Rizis, come light. That's the way he's going to be mechanech me a whole lifetime. Just put me like to a matzev. Hey, this is it. Where he can't speak, he can't talk. That's the way he handles with people. She got so tzibach, she was so mad at him. When he comes back from shul, good Shabbos. What happened? You know exactly. I don't. Oh, you're making yourself. I really don't. Please explain me. You know exactly the master. I don't want to speak with you. He was so shocked, he didn't understand why. Okay, they're walking to the hall, to the Shevet Brochus. As they're approaching, somebody from the Mishpucha saw Shmek, something is wrong here. They're going like both with the nose down. So he was a Mishpucha of the Kala. So he goes over to, excuse me, something happened. She walks aside. Yes, well, she started crying. He's such a naughty man. This is what he did to me. He lit up, he can't speak. Give me permission to find out. Okay. So he goes over to the chassan, says, excuse me, stop. Why can't you be a mensch instead of lighting? Speak, tell her that it's getting late. We'll light up the candles. Why do you have to do that? He says, oy vey, gewalt. I didn't mean it. And he looks over to his color. Remember that right before Shabbos, somebody was knocking on the door? He says, so what? No, you have to understand, my father, every Friday, when he gets ready the candles, so he lights them up, and then he blows them out. So this way it's easier to light up the candles. So I load up with the candles, and somebody knocked on the door. So I went over to the door, and I decided afterwards I'll blow it off. But then I forgot to blow it out. How was she supposed to think about such a thing? And the chanami. But lelamdenu, even if sometimes you have no idea, how can it be done, chavschus? You never ever know. Let's not make any cheshbonis. Even if we think, yeah, we are sure, of course, this guy's so cruel. You never ever know. Story number three. Young couple, 3 months after the chasana, sitting by the shviga for dinner. And there was some electrician, something, were making a bal melucha, and she had to pay him. She was missing 100 shekel. So she asked her son-in-law, you have 100 shekel? I'll go out soon. I'll get you. I'll fetch you. Oh, no problem. He takes out his wallet, 100 shekel, gives it to his shviga, to his mother-in-law. And then she hears him telling her daughter, right, his wife, let's see how long it'll take till it comes back. She got real mad. And she got even more mad. She sees her daughter laughing. What? That's the way he ruined her daughter in 2 months? He made her such a klafter? That's the way they laugh at people, on a mother? What do you think, I'm a ganav? If I told him I'm going to give him back, and give him back. Well, and even if I forget, he got enough money, Baruch Hashem, it's an adam, chmein, what happens if 100 shekel? That's the way you got to speak. She was shocked. For a month, she wouldn't speak to them, kemat. She was so miserable. Until finally she calmed down a bit, and one day she goes over to him, tell me, what was that line you said? Very naughty, very not nice. So what are you talking about? He says, what do you mean, what are you talking about? You said to my daughter, when I asked you for 100 shekel, let's see how much time it takes till it come back. Ay, Gewalt, you don't understand what I meant. What do you mean I don't understand? I understand the writ exactly. What do you mean? Why are you making nonsense with me? Oh, you don't understand. Well, let me explain you. I have a hobby. I'm a shagas. I like to sign my name on 100 shekel bills. And I like to see when I, you know, I give it out in the grocery, how much time, when will it come back? That same day, that 100 shekel came back after 3 months. And when you asked me for the 100 shekel, so I told your daughter, interesting, let's see how long it'll take when this 100 shekel bill will come back. Of David's in his getracht, huh? And that she didn't think about. And the Hanami, she wasn't supposed to think about. How can you think about such a zach? But to learn a lesson, you never, ever know. Don't make any cheshbonos, even if you're 100%. It couldn't be others. You never, ever know. Story number four. A couple going out to Simcha, and as they're getting close to the Techasana hall, they see somebody going out from the hall, really chubby, kenai mehara, b'midas, whatever. And she hears her husband telling the guy, "Whoa, if you went out of the chasen hall, I'm sure there's no kugel left." She was shocked. That's the way her husband speaks. So what if he's chubby? So what? So he's a fat man. So that, yeah, to make fun of him. She felt very bad. But her surprise was, he comes in the chasen hall, and there wasn't any kugel left. Interessant. How did my husband know about it? She walks out, she asks her husband, "How did you know that there's no kugel left?" He says, "Well, this guy went out, he's the Mashgiach Kashrus. Now, he's such a straight man. If there's anything warm in the Chasen Hall, he won't leave the hall. Shouldn't be any problems of Kashrus, Parva, Fleishiks. If he went out, I knew there's no kugel left. No, nothing warm." How should she think about it? But Lelamdeinu, you never, ever know. Be a Yid Unchishpainis. That's in Bein Odom Lachaveroi. And in Bein Odom Lamokri. I want to tell you a great story about my Elter Zeder, Rabbi Yankiv Yosef Herman, All for the Boss. He was one of the big heroes in America who put in so much Yiddishkeit. But before I tell the story, I want to also tell you this story. Go Cheshvan, right after Rosh Hashanah, I was asked, in Eretz Yisrael, you know, there's the Shuvu schools for the Russian children in all over Eretz Yisrael. So it was Rav Pam's idea that these Russians, they won't send to Chinuch Atzmai, they won't send to from schools. And these guys don't know nothing about Yiddishkeit. So they have all these schools which are mamish in a high level school, and they learn all these studies, but they have boys and girls separated, and slowly but surely they put him in, you know, Yesoidus of Yiddishkeit, Shema Yisrael, Brochus, Shabbos, etc., etc. And there's a lot of Bali Tshuva which went out of these schools. Amazing what Tshuva has done for Klal Yisrael. Anyway, I was asked the beginning of this year to come and say a drosha about Shabbos. They're starting a Shabbos project, giving in the halachas of Shabbos, you know, putting him into the first ideas of Shabbos. So they brought me over. So it was for me a new thing. Like, I don't, but I'm a shoylem. And I come there. I see the guys are like 80% fry. You know, like, what am I speaking? What am I going to say? A vort? What the hell? What shot? You know, yeah. So, singing and stories goes in every language. So I decided, Mamish Besad Dishmaya, we say in Zmiris, Ke Eshmer Shabbos Keli Shmereini. If you keep over Shabbos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps over you. So I went with him with a rhythm. We said, we were singing, Im Yehudi Shomer Ala Shabbat, HaShabbat Shomeret Alav. Im Yehudi Shomer Ala Shabbat, HaShabbat Shomeret Alav. If a Yid keeps over Shabbos, Shabbos keeps over him. So this is an easy rhythm and a very pushed, clear lesson, which they can also participate. And I was telling them the story of my Zayda, Rabbi Yankiv Yosef Herman, that when he came to Eretz Yisrael, he was supposed to come on Wednesday. And instead, since the World War II broke in the middle of the way, so he came only Friday, an hour and a half before Shabbos. Bekitza, an hour and a half before Shabbos, till he'd get all his valises, all his suitcases and his boxes. Bekitza, he saw he has Bilchil Shabbos. So he goes to the officer, "Please stamp me up my passports and let me go. It's Shabbos coming up." He said, "I'm sorry, I can't do it for you. You'll have to ask the big officer, the one who's in charge of me." So the guy in charge comes, and my Zayda gets up. He says, "I'm a Jew, and I have to do the laws that the one above tells me to do. And the Shabbos coming up. Please let me go." He says, "But what's with all your suitcases?" He had 10 suitcases and 16 boxes. He moved to Eretz Yisrael. He said, "I don't care. I couldn't care less. Just let me go. But you have to understand, most of our soldiers went back because there's war going on. The Arabs are here, they're doing whatever they want. It's going to be Africa, they're going to take war away. I don't care. You saw that we're so strong. I eat unchashbainas. He told them, okay, stamp him off his passports, and he left. And he went to Haifa over there. He was staying by Mishpachas Alpha, the son-in-law of Meir Karelitz, and he was there over Shabbos, and he was mamish, so happy and delighted. Atke de Karta, the Bobby asked him, Zeydech, man, I understand also that that's what you're supposed to do, but how you can be so happy about it? He says, what are you talking about? I ganze leben, my whole life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing so much for me. Finally, I have the opportunity to give something back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bekitza, Moitze Shabbos comes up, and my Zeyd used to be Makbid Rabbi Tam, and Rav Alpha says, Rabbi Herman, maybe we go to the ship, maybe something left. He says, there's no chance. Alpha came. They take a taxi, they come over to the port, and they're getting closer, somebody with a flashlight, hey, who are you? So he says, Mr. Herman, one of those who came with the ship yesterday. Oh, it's you! I'm waiting for you over 26 hours. The big manager told me, if there's something moving, something lost, he'll chop off my head. Please come and take it. I can't anymore. And my Zayde took the peklach and mamish, and does the pshat, I eat on cheshbeinus, and I told the guys, you see guys, if a yid keeps over Shabbos, Shabbos keeps over him. And they were singing away with me, Im Yehudi shomer ala Shabbat, Shabbat shomeret alav. Im Yehudi shomer ala Shabbat, Shabbat shomeret alav. Because it's like, you know, there's a famous, the Zohar Kodesh, we say after Ishus Chayil, Mordekesh, Rabbi Yitzchok Posach v'omar, Ksivai v'orech alo ikimes yoyim ha-shvi. It says that Kodesh Baruch Hu blessed yoyim ha-shvi, Shabbos. So if so, Frek the Zohar HaKadosh, Uchsiv Bamon, Sheishas Yomim Tel Ketu, Ubayoyim HaShvi Shabbos Liyaboy. It says that there was no man on Shabbos. V'cheven Deloi Mishtakech Bamezoyna, Ma Berchus Yishtakech Bay. Broch is the Pshat, is Broch, it's Shefa, in Ruchnis and Gashmias. So if Shabbos, you say there is no man, so Pshat, there is no Brocha. So what's going on here? Shabbos is Broch, there isn't Brocha. So the Zohar HaKadosh says, that's what we learned. All the brachas in Shemayim, in the heaven, in over here, in the Oretz, is all tolu b'yoyim ha-shvi. V'tona, we learned, why wasn't there any man on Shabbos? Because all the 6 days are getting bracha from Shabbos, that is why on Shabbos there wasn't any man. And it's needed an explanation. What do you mean by that? For says, other rabbi, it should be 7 times more of man. That's the reason there shouldn't be any man. Fakir. Zokrav Pinkas Moiridik. You go over sometimes before a yid goes over next to the grocery and he sees stores closed. Any problems going on? Or he's bankrupting? What's Titzach do? He finds the owner. Excuse me, what's going on? There's problems going on? He says, no. He says, so why are you closed? Oh, you don't know. In 3 weeks, is Pesach coming up. Today, all the products and that is coming for Pesach. So we close the store. We're changing all the shelves. We're filling them all up with the things, products for Pesach. From tomorrow, you'll have whatever you want. To say that not always when the store is closed, that means that there's something wrong going. Fakir. Sometimes the store is closed because they're putting up shelves, they're filling up all the shelves. Thus is Shabbos. Shabbos Kodesh is the day which HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings all the bracha for the whole week along. So Memela, Shabbos, there is no man. That's how he explains it. Shabbos is Mekoyra Bracha. Then I said him another story. We had to have a neighbor which was taking a taxi from Tel Aviv to Kiryat Sefer. So he's a chazanishnik, you know, the guy's known cheshbonis. So yes, the taxi driver, ata uved b'Shabbat, you work on Shabbos? Says, no, I don't. Okay, so if so, we're going. On the way, like he sees, he's without a couple, he says, how is it that you're keeping Shabbos? Says, I'll tell you, 16 years ago, I took a frum yid like you on with me in the taxi. And he made with me a deal that if I stop working on Shabbos, he gives me a contract that he's mischayev You go to your book your accountant and make a cheshbon how much you're making every month approximately. Every penny less, I paid for you. So I found out he's a decent guy, he's a honest guy. We signed the contract, and it's already 16 years. I had no reason to come back to him. I was making even more money. So why shouldn't I keep Shabbos, have the same parnosa, and have a day off? Gewaldig. And I was again singing away with the guys. If a Yid keeps over Shabbos, Shabbos keeps over him. Two months later, it was after Parshas Shmos, I get a phone call from the principal of the school. Rabbi Miller, don't ask what happened. He says, what happened? He says, remember 2 months ago, you were singing away. You have no idea how the rhythm went into school, and every time we started learning Hilchos Shabbos, all the children started to sing. And Mamish and Atkirikach, it went in. The guys were bringing every Sunday Shabbos Setlich. What they've done to keep Shabbos and that Shabbos. So he says there's two little kindlach, Gabriel and Tehillah. Their parents are from Bukhara, they came to live in Lud, where the school is. They're living together with the parents and the Zayd and the Baba. And they also, Mamish took it for serious. And he tells me, for instance, Gabriel once brought me a Sunday at Settle, that this Shabbos he didn't touch the computer. Tehillah, his little younger sister, brought it Settle, that she forgot to put off the light on Friday, and she left it going on, even though it was a bit naughty, you know, to sleep with light on, but she wouldn't close it, she kept Shabbos, etc., etc. Parshas Shmos, Gabriel and Tehillah's parents told them, well, we're going out for outing, go into the car, we're going out. And Gabriel insisted, Tati, I want to keep over Shabbos. I'm staying at home with Zaidi and Bobby. But they tried. He was like this. He wasn't ready to be gone. So he and Tehillah stayed home, and the father and the mother with the little sister went out for outing. A few hours later, in the Or Yehuda, he fell in a car accident. The father and the mother died on the spot, and the girl in the back was the Bechnifter in the hospital. And Moitzi Shabbos, he on the telephone, he sent he sent to all his friends, Ani shamarti ala Shabbat, v'Shabbat shamra alai. I kept over Shabbos, and Shabbos kept over me. At the Shloshim, I was asked to come again, and Gabriel over there was standing and saying Kaddish for his parents, Nebuchu Nefta, but the whole school like was mamish, it elevated them to see, it's not just a story, it's the real thing. Shabbos mekrei rabroche, and when you keep Shabbos unke cheshbonis, Hashem keeps over us. Ulevai, we shall all be zoicha to become b'mezok a simple Jew without any cheshbonis, uncheshbonis bin udam lachaveiroi, bin udam lamokoyim, and if we'll act without any cheshbonis, Hashem tzilcho. That's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be acting with us, and even if we're not so worthy. But the Rabbeinu Shalom will help us without any cheshbonis. Let's hope all to be mekabel, b'li Mashiach Tzidkenu, b'meheira v'yameinu. Amen. Amen.